It's a double game week and we're having fun with it. We've all got chips active, so we discuss which are best, who are the optimum players from each club, what do we do about Nico O'Reilly, and I start with an apology. Yes, something that I have hammered Jules for doing all season, not deciding what he's going to do by the time we record. I did it, guys. I'm really sorry. Yes, I wildcarded and I didn't say last Thursday because I know we say talent planning, Sam always drills into us and vision. Unfortunately, the planning started, I reckon. So I was on the fantasy show Friday morning with Sam and her husband, and I reckon I activated it about midday. I was driving down to Bournemouth and I had to stop three times to sort that wild card out.
I told you you'd do this, didn't I? In the green room, anyway. I said, I guarantee you'll play it. You said, yeah. No, I can't play it because I'm going to be driving. And I was like, I said to Lee on the way home, she'll play it. And then you did.
I've never been more grateful than my recently potty trained daughter saying, Mummy, stop, wee wee. No problem, darling. No problem at all. The problem is, I don't know if other, I'm interested. I bet there's a lot of listeners that are listening to this that wildcarded and didn't really like their team. Like, it was quite an uninspiring wildcard. I like it a bit more for this week, but I mean, we'll come on to that. It just feels like there's a few kind of curveballs with this double game week. But anyway, enough about me. I just wanted to get that off my chest, have my confession. Morning, Sam. Morning, Jules. We were just saying Jules has been the busiest man in the world this week and has literally just rocked it in a few minutes late, but we'll let that slide. 5 a.m. train from Manchester after match of the day. What a week.
5:02. Indeed. Yeah, it's brutal. I won't lie. It was brutal.
That's the commitment to the pod, though.
Exactly.
It's a big pod because we are here to preview double game week 33. So before we go any further, I mean, in case you've been living under a rock, the doubling teams this week are Man City, Burnley, Chelsea, Brighton, Leeds and Bournemouth. And I didn't forget any of them this time. Before we come on to previewing that, though, let's talk about our game weeks. Sam, you were on for an incredible game week, I thought, until I saw you'd left Mark Gahey on the bench.
Oh, do you know what? It was one of those weeks, wasn't it? Where I'd faffed around with my defenders all week because...
Get it.
I didn't like the... I really was. And I didn't...
Some of us were relieved.
I was. It was one of those where... Because obviously the game before had been the Spurs game and I'd played Mickey van der Ven over playing Gahey, and then we'd conceded from a deflected goal and I was fuming about that anyway, as you can, I guess, imagine. And then we get into this game and I'm like, okay, well, at least Chelsea are going to score. They will score. Surely they will score. It will take out the clean sheet and I'll feel better about this. And then they did early on and then it was ruled out and I was thinking, oh, okay, well, you know, they started the game okay. And then as the game was getting further and further in, I was like, this clean sheet's going to stick and it's going to, having 6 points on the bench is going to massively hurt. And then when he scored, I just...
What a finish, by the way.
I mean, he's like a striker. I could do without Spurs
right
now. Great
goal, by the way. Yeah.
It was, yeah, it was really good. But it really hurt because 15 points, like it's a green arrow, but those 15 points sitting on my bench, one, the green arrow that I was on for was huge. And then obviously him doing that and not being in my team meant it became quite a small green arrow for the week, which is okay. It's still green. However, had I played him, that huge green arrow that I was on would have been a massive one. I think it would have ended up taking me I would have been way inside the top million, and that would have been the first time I've been there all season, and Kels, it would have put me very close behind you, which is obviously the key thing that I'm looking at the minute. So I was really annoyed with myself, but it is what it is. The rest of the game week was good. Obviously I had Roos in goal, he got an 11 pointer. I'd kept Thiago because I hadn't wildcard, he had a big haul. The Virgil to Van Heek thing didn't really work out this week despite Van Heek getting a clean sheet, but at least I'm set up now for the double in 33.
So Sam, you got 58 overall and a green arrow. I got 55 and a slight red arrow, which is really annoying. And that just sums up my wild card, to be honest. So I think there's 50 points between us now, isn't there? So yeah, it would have been, would have closed that gap by about 10 points. Would it have been 10 points? Something like that.
15.
I should have checked.
He was on 15. Yeah, gosh. And Van der Ven got one, so it would have been 14.
Oh, okay, right. Yeah. Sorry, I was thinking, yeah, that makes sense.
Your love for Spurs, Jules, is your downfall anyway. We told you not to play Van der Ven. You didn't listen.
To be fair, though, Jules, still on Friday morning when I saw her, she was still toying over getting Haaland in. And she was like, I might get Haaland in. I could get rid of Richarlison or I could get rid of... Who did you get rid of in the end? Thiago.
No, I got rid of Richarlison in the end.
Yeah, I did. My point is, but on Friday morning, Jules, she was still going... I'd quite like to keep Richarlison because he's differential. Me and her husband Lee were going, nah, come on.
although, to be fair, Lee spent a lot of time trying to convince me that keeping the differential was the right thing.
Lee did then give a dig at the end and go, but in Sam's rank and where she is, maybe she should go for the differential. And I was like, oh, that was a little knife.
Total grief. Total grief all the time.
Anyway, Jules, I don't know why you're so cocky. You had the worst game week, and this doesn't happen often out of the three of us.
What happened to you?
44, but I didn't make any transfer on purpose because I, you know, with this double game week coming up, I wanted to roll the transfer. So I knew the team was not as good as it could have been if I'd spent, you know, if I transfer a couple of players maybe. So I didn't expect something big. I got 44, so just below average, which is not great. It's a red arrow, obviously. I'm still top 200K in the world, which is not bad. But I was prepared for it. And there's a couple of things that annoyed me, obviously, like United. I think Cunha and Bruno could have done better. I chose Bruno as captain, like a lot of people. And obviously Thiago now with hindsight would have been a much better captain, but I never even thought about that. So there's things that could have gone a little bit better, but I expected this kind of game week. So I was kind of okay with it.
Yeah, so the thing is, Jules, at your rank, did you not just want to attack it? Did you get a red arrow in the end?
Yeah, slight red arrow. I lost like 35K. But then I knew the big one would be this one because I will free hit for the double game week and like go all in, literally 11 players with two fixtures because it's fun and also because I think it can be successful. So I was a bit in between and I just thought, okay, I'm happy to kind of almost sit this one out and then literally go all in for the double game week 33.
Okay, interesting. So Jules has already revealed there that he is going to be playing a chip this week. I will be playing a chip as well. But just before we move on, I'm sure Sam will actually too. But before we move on, I'm just going to tell you what my wild card was, just because I know some people might be interested. My goalkeepers were Darlow and Verbruggen. In defence, I went for O'Reilly, Van Heck, Senesi and Hill. In midfield, this is where I went a bit rogue. Semenyo, Palmer, I kept Bruno. Oh, I forgot to mention that Gabriel was my other defender, by the way. Semenyo, Palmer, Tavernier, after hammering Sam for so long, I went there. Hinchelwood, and then my front three are Calvert-Lewin, Haaland, and Joao Pedro. So, yeah, I'm going to want to be wildcarding my wildcard out soon, aren't I, after this game week. But yeah, that's where I'm set. Anyway, let's talk about the FPL Pod Mini League. There's a new leader, Pedro Meschini. He played his wildcard for game week 32 and clearly had a better one than me. He got 58 points. Returns from Verbruggen, Van Heck, Gabriel, O'Reilly, Gross, Palmer, who got Defcon, great, and Bruno Fernandes, who was his captain. And he's 6 points ahead of Kim Lamberts, who's now tied in second place. He also wildcarded. He got 70 points, so he had all of the same players as Pedro, but he also had Bowen. By the way, congratulations to anyone that had Bowen for his three assists. Henry Hine is tied with Kim for second. He also wildcarded and got 50 points. He tripled on the Brighton defence, but he did bench his Man City defender, Nunes, who, unlike Gahi and O'Reilly, one good thing, didn't get an attacking return. Four of the top five actually played their wildcard this week. Only Oliver Tarby in second didn't. He's still got all four chips to play, though, and is just 1 point behind Kim and Henry, and 7 behind Pedrom. Shout out also to Suman Adekari in fifth, who registered 80 points on wildcard. He went from 16th into fifth. Yeah, you say wow, Jules, but that's quite a condensed period of time to use your chips now, isn't it? Like,
it's like you
know.
Normally count as that is.
Yeah, I know. Like, I thought week. I was being clever. I felt like I've got rid of them early in comparison to him.
Yeah, it was more of a wow, like, okay, what is he going to do now? Yeah, that's you.
It is. Code is XY6XPL in case you want to join. Jules, just kick us off with the Champions League roundup, please.
Yeah, I put my glasses on because I'm an old man now and I forgot my contact lenses. So Liverpool are out. I don't need the glasses to tell you that PhD beat Liverpool again, by the way. More seriously, Hugo Ekitike got a really bad injury, which has made the Liverpool night even worse because he'd be out for at least 9 months now with his Achilles injury, which is really bad news. Alexander Isak started. We don't really know why, but hey, that's one for another time. He only lasted 45 minutes, like Frimpong as well. Arsenal, on the other hand, qualified for the semi-final of the Champions League. Not that it was pretty or very good either, that 0-0 draw against Sporting. We had Mosquera right back. Gyökeres only played 53 minutes. Eberechi Eze started, which is good news for Arsenal because you would expect him to start on Sunday. And then on Thursday night, as we record on Thursday morning, we will have Forest, who are in a good position after the 1-1 draw away at Porto. Palace, who hammered Fiorentina in the first leg of their Conference League quarterfinal. And then Aston Villa also in a good lead against Bologna. So all those three English teams should qualify really for the semi-final.
Okay, the question on everyone's lips. Do you always wear glasses? We've never seen them before.
No, I've got contact lenses usually, but I forgot them. I slept like 2 hours, so I can't see anything. Like I can't really see where you are and where some. No, I'm kidding. I can see that, but I can't really read my my notepad, so I need sometimes the glasses. You know, I'm an old man.
It makes you look very studious and kind of as if you work really hard with that notebook. What a duo. Okay, then, let's get into the double game week content then. So Jules has already revealed he's playing a chip. I'm playing a chip. Sam, you're playing a chip, I'm presuming.
Yes.
Bench boost for you?
Yes.
Yeah, same here. You don't wildcard into the team I wildcarded into if you're not doing that. The chips played for this game week then, and this will change. A reminder, this is Thursday morning first thing. And you know that a lot of people don't look at their teams all week and then log in on Friday and think, wow, I need to do something. I need to play a chip. Bench boost is proving the most popular at the moment with over 350,000 active. Triple captain also popular with over 283,000 active. 240, in fact, yeah, I reckon that will rise a lot actually. 240,000 free hits are active and 83,000 wild cards are active. A reminder, I know a lot of people were discussing whether to play the wild card this week. You can only play one chip in a game week. But Sam, it does feel like it's important if you have multiple chips left this week to use one of them.
Definitely use one of them and just think really carefully about which one it is. So have a think about how your team looks. How many players do you have that are doubling? If you have lots already, then probably the bench boost is the right way to go, unless you decide that you think that one of the assets is really, really good for the week and therefore you want to use your triple captain. Although I think that will sit better in a later game week when Manchester City's other fixture gets rescheduled, because that's likely to be just the two teams doubling. So the bench boost feels more optimal this week. If you look at your team and you don't have that many doublers, then probably the free hit is the right way to go, because it would give you the opportunity to get as many doublers in as you can or want. Plus also, if you don't have that many doublers for this week, then your team probably also looks okay for next week and the blank, because obviously the teams that double this week also blank next week. And the wild card is just personal choice. If you look at your team and think, it doesn't look great and I want to set it up for the double, then great. But just be aware, of course, then next week with the blank, you'll need a way to get around that. And maybe that's with your free hit. So you just need to carefully plan which chip goes where, depending upon which ones you have left.
Jules, what was your thinking then in playing the free hit?
Yeah, I think it's a good opportunity to try to bank on the double game weekers and then to the doublers, like Sam said, and to get as many points like that. And we know it's not always like that. There will be some players with just one game in this game week 33 that probably will return more than ones with two. But I think those double game weeks are great. They're great to invest in and to go for it. I think it's really fun. I think you can have a bit of fun with who you pick and when, and some players that you would never pick if they were not doubling. But in this case, you can go for it. If the guy starts both games and really plays at least an hour, you know it's four. So you know, I think you go for it. So that's good. And probably on another season, I think the bench boost looks really cool. If your team is set up well, I think this is the perfect time as well to play the bench boost. But for me, certainly with my team now, and I feel a lot of people will be like me, I think the free hit makes a lot of sense. And then I'm all good anyway for the blank in 34. That's good. And then I would play a bench boost at some point, probably when the City double lands.
Were you not tempted to play the bench boost, or was it just the fact that your team wasn't well set up enough with doublers for this week?
Yeah, exactly. I don't have any doublers. I could do it, and you know, it might not be too bad, but I would much rather have 11 doublers with the free hit than have maybe four or five that doubles and a bench that might be okay, but won't be super strong. I know it already because of the players that I have. And I reckon it'd be interesting actually to see what I would have done for bench boost and see how many points that would have got me and what I would do in free hit and then compare next week.
Yeah. Okay, then let's talk about the doubling players. We went through this kind of in depth last week, but I'm wondering if it's changed at all. Let's talk about Man City firstly, Sam, because I think we said last week, didn't we, that the optimum was probably Haaland, Semenyo and O'Reilly. O'Reilly went off with what seemed to be a hamstring injury last week. Fortunately, he'd already banked his clean sheet and his attacking return, but that doesn't look great for a double, does it? Because even if he makes one, does he make two?
Well, exactly. The FPL community has done what it does best, and it's been out there searching through training ground photos looking for pictures of Nico O'Reilly. And there does appear to be one of him in the background. It's possible that it's not him, though, of course. So I think keep an eye out for that. I'm sure if you go on social media, you'll find all the FPL lot looking for pictures of Nico O'Reilly and going, could this be him? Is this him? But obviously, we've got a press conference from Pep at the end of the week. Now, will Pep tell us the truth? Who knows? But hopefully we'll get a little bit of word on what's going on with Nico O'Reilly. I think the fact that the Arsenal game is in this double game week maybe is a blessing for Nico O'Reilly owners, because you would think that Pep would put out his strongest team for the game against Arsenal because of how important that is in terms of the league as well. So maybe there's a bit more opportunity there, but then does he play him in one and give him a rest in the other? We'll have to see. So I don't think on a free hit, unless Pep comes out and says, yes, Nico O'Reilly is fit and available to play both matches, I think on a free hit, I'd be inclined to go against the Nico O'Reilly pick. And if you've got him and you're planning to bench boost, which is the situation you're in, Kels, you're just going to have to hope that we get some firm news, because what you do not want is a player on your bench boost that's supposed to play twice and doesn't play at all.
Yeah, and no, I've got a real kind of conundrum on what to do on that. And there is a scenario where I want to save my transfers, obviously, for coming out of, what game are we in now? We're in 33. Coming out of 34, going into 35, I want my three transfers because I've only got three. But there is a scenario where if he's definitely ruled out, I could just go to Gehi, to be honest. But I also, Jules, I'm interested to your three. I think I can guess your three, actually. You're going to go, well, actually, I'm not going to guess them because you'll go someone left field and I won't guess that. But you're going to go Cherki,
aren't you? He'll go all out attack, won't he?
I really regret not being bolder and going Cherki last week. Yeah. Gosh.
I mean, I told you it was my differential anyway. It was just there. It was just there. It was a gift to the people. It was a gift to the world of FPL, you know. But the thing is, you know, I'm not too keen on Semenyo. And I haven't been really lately, but I know he's heavily owned. So that's what we said last week. You take a risk if you don't bring him, because if he returns, then it hurts you. But then if he doesn't return and you've gone for Cherki or even Donnarumma or even somebody less owned from City and he's got a good, you know, a good game week, then it's really in your favor. So right now I wrote down Haaland, you have to, even if, again, it's only three goals in his last 13 Premier League games now for Erling Haaland. This is not good at all, by the way. And it's not even if he misses big chances. He doesn't even have them, full stop. He had, one shot against Chelsea that was in a decent position and that was it. And I've gone for Donnarumma because I think if you're not sure about O'Reilly and for some reason you want to double up defensively for City, which you can, because again, I can see them not conceding against Arsenal because the game might be a bit cagey. Then after that, I certainly don't see them conceding against Burnley. I've got no issue with going O'Reilly if he's sure to play, and Donnarumma and Gehi with Haaland on Semenyo. I think that works absolutely fine. If you prefer Cherki to one of them others options with Haaland and Gehi, Donnarumma or Semenyo, then I've got no problem at all, because I think Cherki is going to be great in those two games. I think he's going to start them both. I think he's going to start every single league game now until the end of the season, because he's become that important for City in the way they play and what he creates for them. So if you want a bit of a differential, go for Cherki. If you want to make sure that you're on the Semenyo return, if he returns like half of the world, then go for it. But yeah, I think those are all very good options.
With the news of the O'Reilly injury, like if I was wildcarding now and we knew last week that O'Reilly was going to be injured, I would be very tempted to do Semenyo and Cherki. Sam, what do you think the optimum City 3 is as it stands?
It's really tough because I do think the Arsenal game will be cagey. Arsenal in attack have been quite poor the last few weeks, not just in the Premier League, but in all competitions, even in the game against Sporting in the Champions League, like in attack, not great at all. So I can see a clean sheet for Manchester City against them, despite how, you know, important that fixture is to the way that the league pans out. I think between now and the end of the season, I would want a Manchester City defender in there. And so if I was wildcarding, I'd go Gehi, Semenyo and Haaland, because I think that makes optimal sense for the fixtures that they have coming up. If I was on a free hit this week, though, I think I would be more inclined to take a punt and go for Semenyo, Cherki and Haaland, because I just think that the way that this week might go and how important these two fixtures are and the fact that it's Burnley just could make Cherki a really interesting differential pick to have in your team. And looking for somebody that's lowly owned is kind of what you might need to move the dial in your mini leagues or in overall rank.
Sam, what if Pep, though, comes out this week and says, no, O'Reilly's totally fit, it was just precautionary, he's absolutely fine, he's trained all week?
Then you have O'Reilly.
Over Cherki, would you still say the optimum?
It's risk-reward then. So I'd have, it'd be Haaland, O'Reilly, and then it's going to depend on how much risk you're prepared to take. So Semenyo is the safe pick. He's owned by such a high percentage of managers that if you don't have him, he will hurt if he does anything. But at the same time, Cherki on the other side is so lowly owned that any return that he brings you isn't really just, you know, if he scores one goal, it's worth actually more than one goal if Semenya doesn't get anything. So like this week we've just had against Chelsea, those Cherki points are even more important because Semenya gets nothing. So the movement of that dial is huge. So that's the kind of decisions you have to make. If it was me at my rank, I think I would be inclined to go for Cherki between now and the end of the season just to try and make something move. However, I would be absolutely terrified of Semenya doing something because any good work that Cherki does could be outdone by one goal by Semenya.
Jules, did you ever confirm your three City?
I'm really tempted with Ryan Cherki, I won't lie. And you know how much I love him. So, but defensively, I also, so the thing I have with Semenya, Haaland, Cherki, I don't think they've ever returned in the same game altogether. And I know they've got two games coming up. So you might have two of them returning against Arsenal and then the other one against Burnley or the other way around. I don't know. So that might work out in the end. But if you bring them all three and they're all your attacking players, you haven't gone for Gehi or O'Reilly, Fit or Donnarumma or, I don't know, Kusanov, Matheus Nunes, whoever else you want, then I think it's a little bit risky as well. And I think against Burnley, they can score five and then maybe all three returns and then it's all good and we're happy. But they also might not. And again, it's just this where you go if you just spread a bit your City asset over pretty much one in each line. So one defender, one midfielder and one forward, which I like a lot because I also have this kind of old school, you know, let's keep the system and the formation, although it's just a game. Like in real life, I like that. So I would go for Haaland and Cherki probably. And then the third one, I'm still not decided, but I wouldn't mind going for Donnarumma or Gehi / O'Reilly more than Semenya, maybe.
Okay, so the usual answer from Jules Ray is not sure. I'm going to just check his team post deadline to work out who he's put in there because I can't work out who he's going to put in. I think there is so much debate with when it comes to City, isn't there? And the O'Reilly injury is clearly what's causing so much of it. The Chelsea result kind of made me, I mean, Palmer got DEFCON. It felt like if you were wildcarding last week, you kind of had to put Palmer in, Sam, because you're chasing upside on a double game week. But actually, I mean, other than DEFCON, there wasn't much to shout about, was there?
No. And actually, when you look at the underlying numbers, like I haven't been that impressed by Chelsea at all. And again, I look back on it now and think the decision to bench Gehi was a bit ridiculous because the underlying numbers for Chelsea in terms of goal threat and goals scored hasn't been great. It is hard with Palmer. Like, I get why you did it on wildcard because you've got loads of money. He's got a double game week. He, between now and the end of the season, should get plenty of points. But, and he's on penalties. And obviously, that's always nice to have a penalty taker in your team. I just don't fancy it. Like, I don't love the fixtures that they have. I think that the fixture, particularly the game against Brighton, could be absolutely critical in terms of who finishes in the top five, as it's going to be now for the Champions League spots. And Brighton, if they've beaten Spurs and Chelsea, haven't won in the first game of their double, Brighton will be above Chelsea. And so then that makes it even more important what happens in the game between them in midweek next week. So really interesting thoughts with Chelsea. I've only got João Pedro and I'm not getting any more Chelsea players. I'm just going to have João Pedro. And even then, to be honest, Kels, I'm not that keen on having João Pedro either. I'm just having him because it's a double game week and he's got two fixtures and he's heavily owned. So that's where we are with it. I'm just going to keep him. But from game week 34, I'm going to sell and be off all Chelsea assets.
Yeah, I mean, I've got João Pedro. I didn't go for a Chelsea defender. I opted to keep Gabriel against Man City, which maybe says everything that you need to know about Chelsea, or it's more actually the fact that I want him post wildcard. But yeah, Palmer, I know why I brought him in, but it was a silly move, let's be honest. Jules, how are you feeling about Chelsea? I think I know how you're feeling about Chelsea. You've made it quite clear.
I will go with Palmer on the free hit, just to be with you, you know.
Oh, you
family
will, still?
Here. Yeah, we're family. I think you need support right now psychologically with Paul Palmer. I mean, I think everybody does, to be fair. He's owned by 20% of the manager, which I thought that was quite high considering he's done not much all season, really. So you and I would be in the same boat. Let's be on the Cole Palmer boat.
But do you actually think Cole Palmer's a good option?
I'm not really sure right now, but hey, who cares? He's got two games. Surely at some point, Chelsea are going to be good again, right? They're going to be better going forward. He's going to be better. It has to be. At times against City in the first half hour, there were some good signs, I thought, in a central position. Now that Enzo is back, Palmer should play on the right again, which is not his best. But I think, yeah, I think it could work. Him and Pedro could just about work. So let's go for it.
My other theory with him, Jules, as well, is that Chelsea don't even have to be good. And Cole Palmer can still be good. He can operate in isolation.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
That's very true.
And at the moment, when they really need him, this just feels like at any point he can just turn it on. Maybe that's hopeful thinking, but I feel like we've seen that in the past a bit with them.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And also they need points badly now. It's not even if they could manage and be happy with a draw there and a draw there. They've got the United game. It's a must-win game. There's just no other option. So they will have to go for it. And then for Brighton, it should be an open game because Brighton, as we know, and we've been saying all season, they play attacking football. They're expensive. They sometimes leave their defense exposed. They concede goals. They rarely keep clean sheets, really. So I think there could be something for Joao Pedro and Palmer in those next two games.
Who are your three Chelsea then? Are you just going 2-1? What are you going to do?
Yeah. Just two. I'll stop at two. Don't ask me for too much.
Okay, Pedro and Palmer, I'm guessing, yeah?
Exactly. PNP.
Okay. Brighton, I mean, I was glad I wildcarded last week for them, and I think they were the ones saving graces. We thought they might be, Sam, if you were pressing it in 32 and kind of loading up. Van Hecke, we talked about him. He returned. Welbeck didn't. There was a lot of debate, and I couldn't decide which midfielder to go for. I've got to be honest, I was never looking at the one that actually got the big points, so I was going between Gross and Hinchelwood, and I've gone Hinchelwood in the end. But yeah, who are the optimum Brighton?
Oh, I was really annoyed with myself for not getting Gross. I feel like all I did last week was talk up Pascal Gross and then not buy him. And I was just so annoyed when that goal went. And I even persuaded my son to get Pascal Gross and on over Somerville. So on Friday, when it was coming towards the deadline, he was like, "Mum, I think I'm going to get Somerville." And I was like, "Oh, he might not start. I think I'd get Pascal Gross. He's got a double game." We had a whole conversation about it. And he was fuming with me as West Ham were winning because he was like, "Mum, I can't believe it. He's starting, blah, 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 blah." Then it gets to the Brighton game at the weekend and he's like, comes over to me. He's like, "Mum, I should always trust you with this stuff." And I was like, "Well, not always. Sometimes I get it wrong, but this time I did get it right." And I do think he looks like a really great option because he is on their set pieces and Spurs and Chelsea are particularly bad at set piece defending at the minute. So I think that is definitely one to look at. I mean, it's been 16 months since he last scored a goal. So it's not like there was a reason why we weren't talking about him because he hasn't really been that attacking player until this week. He has historically, though, been good for defensive contribution points this season. So you can go there if you want to, but it feels very reactive to bring him in. I still think that there are better options in that Brighton team. Pascal Gross being top of them. Hinchelwood is really good for the goal threat stats, whereas Gross is much more about the assist potential. So it depends on which way you want to go with it. Gross is my preferred Brighton attacker and I'd have him over Danny Welbeck.
Wow. I can't believe I went with Dominic Calvert-Lewin over Danny
Why
Welbeck.
Why did you do that?
Actually, because I was struggling with my fifth midfielder. I didn't know who to, I was trying to maximise the doubles and I didn't want anyone else from Leeds. Obviously I've seen what they did against Man United and I wasn't expecting that performance, but I knew I wanted Darlow and then I couldn't find anyone else from Leeds and I could find a way of getting three Brighton in else without doing that, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Makes sense. Yeah, it does make sense.
So yeah, I went with, that was a last minute thing, but then I had the whole real struggle of which Brighton midfielder, but at least there were options. So yeah, and we joked, didn't we, on Friday morning when I saw you, Sam, I definitely won't go there with Calvert-Lewin. I did think of you when I brought him in because I went there, but I'd like to say, I thought he was a bit unlucky on Monday night. I agree, that performance has heartened me a little bit about having him. So yeah, I'm not too worried about that call. Maybe we'll see next week if that's a call I got right. Brighton wise, Jules, where are you going? Which directions, if you know yet?
Yeah, no, I think Verbruggen is a good shot as a goalkeeper. Although Spurs are going to get better inevitably at some point. I know we've said it every show this season, but surely they will. They should be, even just for Sam's sake.
It can't get worse.
Yeah, exactly. And Chelsea. So I think if you like, I like Darlow much more with Wolves and Bournemouth, really, in a way, than I like Verbruggen with Brighton. Also the way Brighton play and the way Leeds play, I think it's more likely that Darlow could have two games without conceding than Verbruggen on the other hand. But I think Van Hecke and Verbruggen are good. I like Diego Gomez, who will be my differential later.
Jules, you can only have three.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm just giving people a lot of options, you know. Okay, my three
and
would be...
now that Gomez survived the yellow card, that he's now really a decent option for the double.
Yes, definitely. So I would go Gomez. I still have faith in Danny Welbeck and old people like me. And then I think Pascal Gross is a really good shot.
Just compare yourself to Danny Welbeck.
My friend, did I tell you about the weekend we spent together? That's one for another time. One for another time, you know, by the fire in the winter. Lovely, lovely story.
Okay, Bournemouth. Yeah, they were brilliant, weren't they, against Arsenal. Jules, we can talk about that a bit more if you'd like.
Yeah, it's okay. I mean, you know, Croupy Junior. He's not Paris born and bred, but he's still French. I take him. Yeah, incredible performance, really, when you think about it. I know defensively that penalty kind of killed the vibe a little bit because they didn't really give much to Arsenal anyway. But from Senesi to Hill with Defcon, I think even Petrovic, they're all, I think, very, very tempting for this Leeds and Newcastle double game week for them. I think you can go in a lot of direction with Bournemouth, which is really good.
Okay, so I went with Senesi and Hill. Were they the only two I went with? Yeah, they were. Oh, no, and Tavernier.
Yeah,
I forgot about him already. Sorry. I wanted to double up on Bournemouth. I didn't quite know how to, but it just felt like Senesi and Hill. They got Defcon again. I'm quite pleased, I think, with my decision there, although maybe Creepy would have been a better attacking pick, Sam. I don't know.
Yeah, he played in the 10.
Alex Scott was brilliant as well, wasn't he, to be fair?
Well, Alex Scott was, unreal. And he's only owned by 1.5%, so he's a super differential. That's the 12th game in a row that he's completed the 90 minutes, so not a risk in terms of rotation. That was his third goal of the season. I think he's a really interesting... And I think if I was on a free hit, I would have Alex Scott. He would 100% be the attacker.
I haven't even thought about him. I like him a lot, but yeah, I mean... I'd be like Samson. I'll just do everything.
He scored the winner
says.
Against your team.
I know. I saw that. Thank you very much. He was not. Sorry, I was not familiar with his game, really. He was not on my list for this.
Okay, good. We'll wait and see which Bournemouth. Are you going to treble up on Bournemouth, Jules?
I think so. I think I'll go for Kupi. I have to now. And also, I know his dad. And Senesi. And I've got Petrovic in goal, which. You know, I like. What's wrong with it?
You can't get people just because you know their dad.
I mean, wait until you hear my Leeds story for the Leeds, treble up.
Jules, we need to rattle through this. So if it's really good, tell it. And if it's quick, tell it. But otherwise, save that for another week.
No, it's good. On Tuesday, I went to interview Brendan Aaronson at the Leeds training ground. I've never been to the Leeds training ground. And the vibe was awesome. Obviously, they won the night before. I just loved them. Everybody was so lovely with me. Everybody was friendly. Like, Brendan looked like he was literally my best friend from 20 years ago. We got on so well. Ampandu was there, Calvert-Lewin was there, even some kids from the academy that I didn't even know who they were came along. It was so lovely. I'm all for Leeds and I love Leeds United so much. So I thought I'll have three Leeds players then in my free hit team. I don't know which ones. Biol, I can go all in and I have like three defenders. Bogol, Biol, Calvert-Lewin, Aaronson. I said to Aaronson, like, I'll bring you in my team.
Sam,
for
if you were Jules, which three would you have?
Darlow is the obvious pick here. And yeah, I think Darlow. Also, Jules said it before, I would play Darlow over Verbruggen this week. You play the fixtures, right? And so I think I'd go there. Biol, I like a lot. I'm going to bring him in this week because I'm going to have no Spurs players for this week. Oh, shock horror. I'm actually going to sell my final
That's
one.
So good though.
We'll talk about that later. And I'm going to get him in. I know Jules and they'll probably win this week now. I won't have any. So I'm going to have him in. He picked up defensive contributions again. That's Defcon in his last three game weeks now and in four of the seven since game week 26. He's looking like a really decent option. And then it's just how do you go with an attacker? Do you just go for the obvious? That's obviously Dominic Calvert-Lewin, like you did, Kells, and I think that kind of makes sense. But if you set up already with Haaland, João Pedro and Welbeck, then it's going to be quite hard to get Dominic Calvert-Lewin because how do you sell somebody that's got a double? I think it's a shame that Stack's not here because he would have been the obvious choice. So Aaronson would be my third. I think he's the third.
Okay, I feel like Jules isn't going to know the answer to my next question either. Like, he hasn't on anything I've asked him on this podcast. Are you keeping any single game weekers?
No, I'm not interested. What? Leave me alone, single game weekers. I'm not interested. I'm not even looking at you. I'm not even looking. I'm all for double hitters, double weekers, double game weekers, whatever doublers, whatever name you want to call them. I will have 11 who play twice.
It depends on your chip strategy, doesn't it, Sam, in terms of what you should be doing with your single game weekers, I think.
Yeah, so I'm bench boosting. Obviously, I'm going to have
So I think I'm going to have 10 doublers, which means obviously for my bench boost, I'll have 5 single game weekers. And I do think that there are 5 really decent options. Thiago's got a nice home fixture against Fulham, looks like a decent option. Bruno is on for the assist record. He's on 17 assists for the season now. The assist record in a Premier League season is 20 from Henri and Kevin De Bruyne. So he's got 6 games in which to break that record and get 3 more or 4 more to break it. I think he's a really good option. Those are the two that I think, if I was free hitting, I would really struggle to leave them out. I think you do with Thiago because I think you just have to play the doubles. But Bruno's form, and it's a nice enough fixture, I think I'd be inclined to keep Bruno in there because Chelsea defensively are all at sea.
Hmm. Yeah, I've got Gabriel just because I didn't want to have to get rid of him and then bring him back. And Bruno Fernandes, the rest of my team are doublers. But obviously I set that up last week. So are there any other, well, actually, Jules, I'm not even going to ask you about a single game because you're ignoring them all, aren't you? Oh, my daughter's just come up to the door. Hello, darling. I'm not quite finished yet. She's actually holding a Fantasy Premier League stress ball that she thinks is her football.
She knows our stress.
I don't know where her dad is, but he's not meant to be letting her come here. He's here. Is daddy there? Sure. Daddy, we're still recording. Sorry, darling. I'll be 2 minutes. Okay, there. Sorry. I don't know if you're going to keep that in the edit or not, but that was my daughter coming up with her contribution, which was to bring the Fantasy Premier League stressful. So Jules,
it's not wrong. It is stressful.
At this point, it would be really nice if we could help the free hitters out and give them a free hit 11. But I don't think you can. Oh. Can you?
I'm not there yet, I won't lie.
Sam?
No, I can try.
You're the one free hitting this week.
I know, but this is a Thursday morning. I've got plenty of time. Like, you know, Darlow in goal.
Yes.
Biol, Senesi and
O'Reilly is fit.
Exactly, O'Reilly is fit. In midfield, it's tricky because I've got a million names, literally. But what we can tell. Right? Hang on. So Shirky would be there. Palmer would be there. Aronson very likely, and then a fourth one, maybe Gross.
Pascal Gross.
Yes, and then I'll have Haaland, Joao Pedro, and Kroupi Jr. What a free hit this is! What, like, it's again, it's free for the world, for the people.
Sam,
okay,
you don't look convinced.
Yeah, I agree with the defence. I think the defence is right. The midfield, I'm not. I think I probably would go Palmer through fear because I think if you're free hitting, but I don't really like it. I'd have Semenyo on a free hit. I think having Semenyo makes sense. And then like up top, I'd go Joao Pedro, Haaland, and Welbeck.
Okay. Let's move on to differential of the week then. Jules, in case you missed it, picked out a very good differential last week. Cherky with assists, making him 10 points.
My boy.
Top of his head as well.
Sam went for Welbeck with 2 points. So, Jules, you get to go first.
And I've chosen like I said before, Brighton player, Diego Gomez, who's only owned by 1% of the managers. I mean, people don't really fancy Brighton at the moment. It will cost you 4.6 million, which I think is decent. His last 3 returns were 4 points, 6 points, 5 points, so 15 in his last 3. He, as we said, that yellow card thing is not gone, so he should be playing the 2 because I think he's in really good form. He's very important in the whole Hutzler system and the way they play. So yeah, Diego Gomez.
Sam?
I'm going for Pascal Gross this week. So going to cost you 5.5 million, 1.9% owned. He's got 3 assists in the last 6 game weeks. He has supplied 17 corners in that time, of which 6 have been successful. And across the game, only Bruno Fernandes and James Ward-Prowse have had more successful corners in this period than Gross has. As I mentioned earlier on, he has Spurs and Chelsea in the double game week, both of them struggling to deal with set pieces over the course of the season. He's also created 11 chances in the last 6, which is the most across the Brighton team. 31 crosses in that time. Again, that's team leading. I just think that he's the standout pick for me in midfield, and I think he could do really well across the double.
Sorry if you can still hear my daughter shouting. By the way, if the audio is picking up, I'm going to apologise that. She's obviously not very happy with your differential picks. Let's confirm transfers and captains there. So myself and Sam are both bench boosting. Jules is going to free hit. I'm absolutely not going to ask Jules his free hit team because he doesn't know it. Sam, you're getting rid of a Spurs player, just the one transfer?
I think I'm going to make two, actually. So actually, it's really painful for me to sell Mickey van der Ven because you know how much I love Mickey van der Ven. He is my favourite Spurs.
Oh.
I know. It's really painful, but I'm going to sell him for Bajol because it makes sense targeting on the double game because plus he's going to be saving me budget because he's only 3.9 million. And so having him between now and the end of the season, I like the Leeds fixtures till the end. So because I don't have a wild card to play, I need to bring in players that I'm happy to hold more longer term. So he makes a lot of sense and saves me budget over Mickey. Although I can't help but hark back to Mickey van der Ven on my last bench boost. Because if you remember, that was the game against Everton where he absolutely smashed them. That was the good old days. So I'm going to do Mickey van der Ven to him. And then I am also, I think, going to bring in Pascal Gross and back my differential this week. The big question for me with my team is which midfielder do I get rid of in order to get Pascal Gross in? So is it Dom Szoboszlai that goes or is it Morgan Rogers that goes? And I will make that decision at the end of the European games this evening to see how Morgan Rogers gets on. And make a decision from there because I think longer term I'd rather hold the Liverpool asset. But if we start to see some Aston Villa form coming in with Rodgers, and I mean, he should have had a hatful, shouldn't he?
I'm sorry, but what did I hold him from game week 30 to 36 when he didn't get any returns, wasn't it? And then he gets a return when I finally wildcarded him.
Oh, yeah, but Kells, I mean, you can't begrudge me though that one assist. He has one that he fires over the bar, and I don't know how he's missed it.
Yeah, but Sam, where were all of those performances
in week one?
But where are all those performances in the previous week?
I know I've had him for all of these weeks as well. So I think it will be Morgan Rogers to Pascal Gross. I think that's the transfer that I will make. And I think I'll hold Dom Szoboszlai. But there is a temptation to do it the other way around and hold Rogers and sell Szoboszlai instead.
Captain, Sam, I want it, Haaland's form. It should be Erling Haaland in a double game week, shouldn't it?
Should be. I think it probably will be because I'm boring and I'll be sheep-like. But
Same.
Fancy... I mean, there's other options. If Nico O'Reilly is fit and playing both, surely he is a good option. If you've got Cherki or Semenyo, they're both good options. It's hard to look outside Man City, though, because I don't really trust Chelsea. Brighton, I feel like there's about four or five of them that could score goals across the double. Same with even with Bournemouth. Like, realistically, you're not going to captain Kroupi or Alex Scott, are you? So I think it probably is Haaland. But a different Man City player definitely feels okay.
Jules?
Yeah, I agree. Haaland, he would score a hat-trick against Burnley and just that would be worth it.
Okay, we're all boring. And that's where we'll leave it. It's by the way, thank you. If you've persevered with us throughout this, you might notice that we've had a few internet problems. I'm looking at you, Mr. Laron.
Sorry.
Apparently he's at one of his other workplaces so early that no one's here to sort his Wi-Fi out. So he's been doing
it's
it,
true.
I don't know, by a spaceship or something. But we've got here. Somehow it's taken a lot longer, but we have got here. Good luck to the tech team in the edit. Reminder, it's a Saturday morning deadline this week, 11 a.m, 90 minutes ahead of the lunchtime kickoff between Brentford and Fulham. We'll be back next week to look to blank game week 34. And work out who are the best picks for a free hit, because myself and Sam will be doing that, and how you cope with the blank if you don't have that chip left, because it sounds like Jules isn't going to be using his. Sam and Praz will be back next week to review what happened in the first part of double game week 33. The Fantasy Show is back on Friday, and as always, we'll be back on Thursday. See you later, guys.